Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 15, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." You may be seated. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength and you are my redeemer. One thing we learn from Scripture is that God has a divine plan. In order to carry out that plan, he uses men and women to do his work. If you look at your hands, these are the hands that he will use to care for the sick. If you look at your feet, these are the feet that he will use to spread the message of salvation. If you were to touch your mouth, this is the mouth he will use to edify his people. So when God was ready to provide salvation for a world full of sin, he needed someone he could trust to be the earthly father of the Savior of the world. He chose Joseph. Joseph, a man who finds himself in a peculiar situation. He's betrothed to a woman of whom he has never laid with. But now she's pregnant. Having been engaged myself as a young man, I can imagine the anticipation of being engaged. The joy of knowing your wife who has been waiting her whole life for you, and you have been waiting your whole life for her, waiting for the moment to seal this agreement, this covenant of marriage. Waiting a year to touch his wife, and in his excitement, waiting and anticipating, Joseph gets the word. Mary's pregnant. "What do you mean pregnant? No, not my Mary, not my little precious Mary. There's no way." I can imagine the advice he was given. The text does not say who found her, but seeing that she was more than likely staying with her father, staying with her family, with her father and mother, most likely they noticed something was different. And Mary, the innocent little girl that she was, she tried to tell her family, "The angel said that this is of the Holy Spirit." But somehow, for some reason, they did not believe her. I can see Mary's father calling Joseph's father and saying, "Hey, man, my little girl is pregnant. Now understand, according to the law, she lies in Joseph's hands. And now I know what the options are, but I just want to express my desire to keep our name clean. I know what you have to do, but I would like to keep my reputation straight, if at all possible." I could see Joseph's father saying, you know how hard it would be for me to show my face in the square? You know how hard it would be for me to continue? You know how hard it would be for my family? So just please, if you would you take that into consideration? It's bad enough that my baby's pregnant." Any warm-blooded man in that situation would find it difficult at best to go on with a plan of marriage. But Joseph gives us a picture of what it looks like to be used by God to carry a royal responsibility. And what a perplexing situation to be in. And what I hope we learn from Joseph today is when God calls on us to carry out his plan, it requires an unwavering trust in his power and an unwavering trust in his will. Because if you don't trust his power, you won't believe that he's able. If you don't trust his will, you won't believe that he knows what's best for you. But God saw something in Joseph that made him believe he could put his most prized possessions in his hands. Now, parents, let's just be honest. There are some people that you will just not leave your kids with. Amen, lights. Amen. They may be sitting next to you, so don't laugh too loud. I understand. But now there are people that you drop your kids off with and you don't think about it because you just trust them. God saw something in Joseph that shows he could leave his son in his care. He shows us that he is able to be used by God to carry out his plan. So how do you show God you're able to be used to him to do great things for his glory? There's six quick lessons I believe Joseph teaches us about being used by God. Are you interested? Yes. Now, I know I saw our normal three and I doubled it, but don't worry. There's six quick points. And I'll check in on you from time to time. First of all, to prove you can handle a God-given responsibility, you must consistently choose to do what is right. You must consistently choose to do what is right. Matthew 1:18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." The NASB version says, "Not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." The text tells us that Joseph and Mary were betrothed. To be betrothed in the Jewish culture was more of a contract, more binding than just being engaged. So much so, the male and female would be acknowledged as husband and wife. And we see this in verse 19 where Joseph is referred to as her husband. From the point of betrothal, an actual consummation of the marriage would usually be a period of 1 year. And the year was to prove purity on the part of the woman. And if she became pregnant during this time of purity, it would be considered adultery. And the laws of adultery were that if a woman was found in adultery, she could be taken, stoned to death. But Joseph, being labeled in the text as a just man, a righteous man, chose to do the right thing. Now understand, surely Mary tried to tell him what the angel had told her, but Joseph has an inkling of doubt. And you can understand Joseph thinking maybe she's just coming up with an excuse for this condition that she's in. But instead of getting angry for or seeking an opportunity to get even, he chose to do the right thing and send her away quietly. It literally means divorce her in the presence of two or three witnesses rather than take her before the courts where the name of the family could be shot down or even Mary's life would be at stake. That word just, also translated as righteous, here it defines someone who has conditioned themselves to take a standard that is not their own but God's. Condition themselves to take on a standard that's not my personal standard but a standard that's God's standard. You see, the problem we have in our society today is that we have what I like to call selective morality. Selective morality, that means we will do what is right as long as it will benefit us. You know, studies say that 50% of the people today will steal if the opportunity presented themselves, even if they're not a thief. You get under charge at the register, and rather than bring it up, you see it as a blessing. Thank you, Lord. You buy that thing, you get it home, and you break it. You put it back in the box and tape it up. Somebody can finish this sentence. You take it back to the store and say, hey, it was like that when I opened it. I'm preaching to the church down the street. I know nobody in here does that. There's a church I passed on the way here. I was talking to them. If you want God to use you, you have to condition yourself to a standard that is God's and not your own. This means you might lose money. This means you might be vulnerable. This means you might look weak. But if God can trust you, he can use you. So what we learned so far, to prove you can handle a God-given responsibility, you must first consistently choose what is right. Secondly, have courage to stand in the face of ridicule. Have courage to stand in the face of ridicule. Matthew 1:20, it says, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can see Joseph's concern and how he initially wanted to handle the situation. He initially figured the best thing for both parties, just secret divorce. No one would know about it. Don't suffer ridicule. No harm, no foul. We'll move on. I mean, he could hear his friends saying, you know, the word on the street is that Mary was pregnant before y'all lived together. He could see how his mom would look at her differently when she came over to the house. He could see how the child would never have a fair chance in his family. And all of these things are rolling through his head. Joseph knew what was at stake. This is why he sought to secretly just put her away so that she would not suffer ridicule. But after the word of the angel came, he decided that the ridicule was worth it. He decided that being talked about was a fair price for being in the will of God. He decided he could live with the awkward looks in light of the task he had of being the earthly father to the one who would save his people from their sins. You know, when me and my wife were foster parents, the kids would misbehave and draw attention in public, and I often wanted to yell out, these are foster kids! Just hoping that someone would just give me some verification, some release, some mercy. But what I came to realize is that if this is what God called me and my wife to do, then seeking to be accepted was not going to help my case and was actually prideful. God called us to that, and we love them like our own. Joseph questioned whether he could handle what was to come. But if you want to be used by God, you have to be ready to suffer at the hand of ridicule. If you want to be used by God, you have to be ready for the awkward looks. If you want to be used by God, you have to be ready for them to gossip about you. If you want to be used by God, you have to be ready for the jealousy towards you, for moving in a direction that's not popular and making a choice that's against the grain. If you want to be used by God, be ready. Because you will become the top of the discussion. To prove you can handle a God-given responsibility, you must, first of all, consistently choose what is right. You must, secondly, have courage to stand in the face of ridicule. Thirdly, if you want to prove that you can be used by God, have confidence in the power of God. Have confidence in the power of God. The angel that appeared to Joseph in his dream, he said in Matthew 1:20, Joseph, son of David, do not fear, take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Mary was found with child. She's pregnant. Obviously, the word from Mary was not enough to convince Joseph because he still wanted to put her away. But then the angel spoke to him, and at that point, Joseph has a decision to make. He could decide, this is impossible. There's no way you could be present by the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to take the risk of my reputation and the life of my family. I mean, he still had to believe that God was able to do such a miracle. But this is what caught my attention and drew me into this Joseph story, which I like what happens after the angel came to him in a dream. Verse 24 says, he awoke and did. He awoke and did. He didn't contemplate. He awoke and did. He didn't mold it over. He simply awoke and did. He didn't get a whiteboard out, write down the pros and cons, and do a SWOT analysis. He awoke and did. He showed his confidence in God's power to accomplish such a work that he threw his initial plans out the window. And he went immediately and took Mary as his wife. You know, too many of us are waiting for it to make sense before we move on what God is showing us to do. Sometimes you have to follow God when it doesn't make sense. Amen? When the odds are against you, when no one's in your favor, you got to be able to trust God and his power to move when it doesn't make sense. You will not accomplish anything great for God if you do not believe he has the power to accomplish what he wants you to do. God majors in the minors. He does his best work with people who don't have the power to accomplish the work themselves. I remember when I was in seminary, and we were in chapel, and the professor who was speaking at chapel today, he says, do you feel inadequate? Do you feel like you're not able for this calling of pastoring? Do you feel like that you can't do anything right in this area of expertise? And we all had our hands like, yeah. He said, you're in a great place. I remember the story of Gideon even. Gideon, who, when approached to lead Israel in battle, said, I'm the weakest person in the weakest family. And eventually had an army of 32,000 people to go to war against the army of 130,000. And God wanted to show his power, said, nope, let's drop that down to 300 and put you against 130,000, because God wanted him to see and all of us to see that he is the one who provides the power. Joseph had to believe in God's power to trust him. And if you want to be used by God, you will have to believe in his power too. How you doing? We're about halfway through. Okay. No intermission. To prove you can handle a God-given responsibility, you must, one, consistently choose what is right. Two, have courage to stand in the face of ridicule. Three, have confidence in the power of God. Four, comply with the word of God. Matthew 1:21 says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Verse 25 says, he called his name Jesus. Joseph accepted his wife was pregnant. He accepted it was of the Holy Spirit. Joseph still had to follow the instruction of naming the child Jesus. You see, in the genealogy, in the first 17 verses of Matthew chapter 1, verse 16 does not list Jesus as his son. I'll read from verse 15 to kind of get you to see what I'm talking about. Matthew 1:15, it says, and Eliud, the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar, the father of Matthan, and Matthan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. You would expect Jacob, the father of Joseph, Joseph, the father of Jesus, or at least Joseph, the father of Joseph Jr. But Joseph did not have the privilege of being associated with Jesus in the genealogy, other than the fact that he was married to Mary, his mother. Now remember, when the angel spoke to Zechariah, this was the conversation in Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been answered, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you shall call his name John." The angel told Zechariah, "Your wife will bear you a son." The angel spoke to Joseph and told him, "Your wife will bear a son." There's personality in one calling, your son. There's productivity in the other calling, a son. And Joseph had to accept this was the word of God. This was the calling, and the best foot forward is to obey. In the face of dealing with this child who is born that is not directly from him, not knowing whether Mary would ever get pregnant again and pregnant by him, he had to choose to comply with the word given to him to name the baby Jesus. Why name the baby Jesus? Well, you've had the geek with the Greek. You've had the lady with the logos. Today you got the homie with the Hebrew. I didn't expect such a response. Appreciate that. Thank you. The name Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua, which is also translated Joshua. The name means the Lord is salvation. So we see the Father wanted his son to bear a name that announced his purpose. He is Emmanuel, God with us, who is the Lord, our salvation, Jesus. And it was Joseph's responsibility to make sure Jesus received this name at birth according to the word of the Lord. If you want to be used by God, God has to trust you to follow his word. Even when faced with temptation to walk in your own path or when choosing to follow God's word may mean more work for you or less prestige from others. Understand, following God's word limits your chances of doing something you will regret later. I really wanted to say following God's word limits your chances of doing something stupid, but I want it to look good on the screen. Get the point. Following God's word will limit your chances of making mistakes. Following God's word will limit your chances of getting in trouble. Some of us are praying for answers that we've already been answered by the word of God. How do I deal with this person that hurt me? The word tells us to forgive each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. How do I know if I'm making the right decision? The word says, "And the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus." The word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our paths to give us direction as we walk through life. And if you want to be used by God, you have to comply to his word. So where are we? To prove you can handle a God-given responsibility, you must consistently choose what is right, have courage to stand in the face of ridicule, have confidence in the power of God, fourthly, comply with his word, and fifthly, control yourself in the face of temptation. You got to be able to control yourself in the face of temptation. Matthew 1:24 says, "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. He kept her a virgin until she gave birth. As soon as it was settled that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, he brought her into his house and did not consummate the marriage." Get the picture. A young man like Joseph in the home with his new wife, yet he did not touch her. Now notice, it didn't say he did not want to touch her. Let's be clear. It says he did not touch her. If he had consummated the marriage before Jesus was born, the Messiah would not have been born of a virgin. And if there is no virgin birth, then there will be no unblemished lamb. And if the lamb is blemished, then the sacrifice would not be enough, and we would still all be in our trespasses and sin. So Joseph had to control himself and live in the house with his wife and not have sexual relations with her. That's self-control. And this is an area that has brought down many marriages. This is an area that has brought down many ministries, has stifled many potential workers for God. When you are chosen by God to do something great, you can believe temptation is on the way. If Satan can get you to succumb to temptation, he can halt any good thing that he wants to do through you or to you. And we understand temptation itself is not sin, but yielding to it is sin. That's why you have to have someone who holds you accountable. Who do you let in your life? Who can ask you hard questions? Like, when is the last time you had your devotional time? Are you keeping holy when you are alone? Where were you last night? I have at least two men in my life who I let get in my face and ask me those questions. And my wife, as my best friend, holds me accountable. Because if you want to be used by God and carry God-given responsibilities, you have to be able to control yourself in the face of temptation. Y'all doing okay? We're almost done. To prove you can handle a God-given responsibility, you must first of all consistently choose what is right. Secondly, you have courage to stand in the face of ridicule. Thirdly, have confidence in the power of God. Fourthly, comply with the word of God. Fifthly, control yourself in the face of temptation. Finally, concern yourself more with Jesus' name than your own. Nowhere do we have recorded that Joseph used this opportunity for his own personal gain. He was married to Mary, mother of the Messiah. He was responsible for raising and training the Savior, but not once do we hear or read about an opportunistic attitude of Joseph to try to use this to lift up a higher standard of living. You know, in today's society where everyone is looking for social media content, having a stepson who is famous will be an opportunity to capitalize on the situation. We so often take the opportunities God gives us to bring him glory and take that glory for ourselves. Joseph took this as an opportunity to bring God glory. You know, God has given some of us gifts and talents, and we have to be careful not to use them to draw attention to ourselves and neglect the fact that the reason they were given to us was to point to the Savior, not ourselves. We have to get a mentality that whatever I do it for the name of Jesus. I do it to lift up the name of Jesus. We have to stop pointing to ourselves and start pointing to Jesus. The word tells us to do good works so they may see our good works and give glory to the Father. And as long as you point to yourself, God will minimize your impact. But when you point to God, he can use you for his glory. You got to become reflectors, mirrors that reflect glory back to God. Jesus understood this. That's why he could say, "Not my will, but thy will be done." When he was taking nails in his hands, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." When he was letting them pierce him in the side, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." When he was letting them press the crown of thorns on his head, he says, "Not my will, but thy will be done." When he let them bury him in the grave, Jesus says, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Because he was more concerned about God's will. And if you want to be used by God to do great things, you have to be more concerned that Jesus is praised. That was Joseph, who gave us a great picture of what we need to do to be ready to be used by God to do great things. So how do we sum this up? To prove you can handle a God-given responsibility, you must first consistently choose what is right. Secondly, have courage to stand in the face of ridicule. Thirdly, have confidence in the power of God. Fourthly, comply with the word of God. Fifthly, control yourself in the face of temptation. And finally, concern yourself more with Jesus' name than your own. And the church said, amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this word today. Father, we pray that someone will hear this and be convicted and encouraged to live a life for you by your power and by your strength. We know you're able, Lord. We are available. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.